Let me say this before we hear Pastor Patty's message, that this week's message will be different, as it is a video message from six time zones away, at least 24 hours of flight away in a country that is about as different from the United States as can be. Patty has indicated to several of us that this is a launch for a new connection through missions that we will be hearing more about in the future. She indicated that she hopes that in sharing this trip with us today, that it will make it more personal in seeing and knowing those that will potentially be served. Now a message from Sierra Leone.
And welcome to Carmel United Methodist Church. My name is Patty Napier, senior pastor serving at Carmel, but I'm greeting you not from the church in Carmel. I am instead greeting you this morning from the airport in Sierra Leone, Africa. Following a long night of travel, we have finally arrived to begin our mission here in Sierra Leone. For those of you who may not be familiar about the country, Indiana actually has some similarities. Sierra Leone and Indiana are geographically about the same size. Sierra Leone's largest city, its capital is Freetown, and of course Indianapolis is our capital. Difference being that our population in Indianapolis is about 1 million. Population of Freetown is 2 million people. So the congestion is like a congestion you truly don't see in very many places around the world. Another similarity that we have is that we have people of faith in Indiana. We have people of faith here in Sierra Leone, except in Sierra Leone, the population is dominated by Muslims. It's about an 80 to 90% Muslim country. Language is English, but you hear mostly the tribal languages or Creole spoken throughout this country. Average life expectancy, a little different than Indiana, is about 50 years old. Sierra Leone has one of the highest maternal infant mortality rates in the world of 25%. So with those statistics, this country is certainly very different from Indiana. Certainly a place that we have for potential of outreach as Christ calls us to serve people across the world. I'm excited to be able to share with you pieces of my journey so we can understand the mission that we are called to. Thanks for joining me at Kissy Clinic. This is a United Methodist Church ground where we have built hospitals and clinics. To my left is the chapel here on the ground. But what I want you to see today is what is behind me. Behind me is Brown School. And some of you may remember the projects that we had probably 6, 8, 10 years ago when we provided the funding, but also sent teams over here periodically to build the second floor of the school. The entire second floor is a result of the funding from Carmel United Methodist Church. A couple Sundays ago on All Saints Sunday, I talked about, and I often think about, the legacy that each of us has an opportunity to leave behind us. And I truly believe that this is a legacy of Carmel United Methodist Church. The school now educates about 1,000 kids. They have about 500 kids that come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're here until about noon, and then they have the PM session that comes in at 2, and they're here for the afternoon. And those children are in grades 1 through 6 here, and like about 1,000 students total every day have an opportunity for an education here. Thanks be to God for Carmel United Methodist Church, who allowed this expansion to happen. That's very, very exciting. But what we have learned as a part of Operation Classroom in the last several years in speaking with the Bishop of Sierra Leone, Bishop Yambasu, is that a real concern has been the education of persons after a typical time in school. So, for example, the United Methodist Churches over the years have built approximately 400 elementary schools and about 50 secondary schools. And what happens to those children after that point is there's really nothing for them to continue their education unless they come from a place of money. And so what the nation is seeing is that there are many, many young adults who are untrained, unemployable, and therefore the unemployment rate of this nation is 70 to 80%. The thing we also need to know is this is a very young country. 50% of the individuals are 30 and under. The concern for that is with very bored, uneducated, untrained young adults, that will happen again is some kind of an uprising because they become so desperate. So we've taken a look at moving our opportunities for education to another grade level. And so that's why we are looking at the development and are beginning the development of Tayama Enterprise Academy. And I'll talk to you a little bit about that later. I'm glad you had an opportunity now to follow me to Tayama, which is the village where the reason for this trip is. Tayama is a village outside of, it reminds me of kind of rural kind of living in this part of the world. When I talked to you earlier about Operation Classroom, and in the years past, most of our work had been with primary schools and secondary schools. And we're taking through Operation Classroom, they're starting an additional step as they have listened to Bishop Yambasu, as he talks to the people about the problem that they have with their young adults. And typically what happens is if kids can make it through what we call grade 12, they have to have money to go to university. Most of them don't have money. So most of them end up, they don't even have a skill, so they're not employable. So how do you address that? And that's the reason for this new project, TEA, Tayama Enterprise Academy. We bring to this school and to this area this opportunity that to me very much reminds us of a trade school, if you will. Because what it will do is, in addition to those last 3 years of their education, what will also be incorporated is opportunities, one, to learn a skill that they could use into their adulthood, whether it's mechanics, whether it has to do with agriculture or engineering. They learn this trade, but along the way as they're learning this trade, they will also learn business skills. So there is an opportunity to truly be developing entrepreneurs for this country. And the bishop feels that bit by bit, as we allow these opportunities to happen for the kids here in Tayama, that this can help to change this country. And so as I think about this scripturally, I want to share with you today a scripture reading from the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Just to kind of remind you where we are when we talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, living at the time when Babylon had already sacked Jerusalem. And the Israelites had been living out of Jerusalem, living in Babylon for over 50 years. And finally, the king there, the Persian king, said, "It's okay now, Israelites, you may return to your city, to your home." When they returned to their city and to their home, what they saw was their city of Jerusalem The wall had been destroyed around the city. The temple had been destroyed. So their call was to rebuild the city. And Nehemiah's focus was mostly on rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. As he began to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, I share with you words from Nehemiah 3. And here's what I want you to listen to. Don't get hung up on the names that I say, because there will be many, and believe me, there's no way that you'll remember those names. What I want you to hear is the activity that is going on between the names. So listen carefully to what that activity is from Nehemiah 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Then the high priest Eliasib set to work with his fellow priests and rebuilt the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and as far as the Tower of Hananel. And the men of Jericho built next to him. And next to them, Zaccur, son of Imri, built. The sons of Hasena built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set up its doors, its bolts, and its bars. Next to them, Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hezekiah, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, son of Banan, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. Again, the names are not what I'm looking for. I want us to hear the next to them. Because for a large project to happen, what has to happen is someone comes in and dreams the dream. Someone comes in, casts the vision, and makes the plan. And then the hands and the financiers begin to make that dream happen. And after that, in that part of plan is something that will sustain this project, not just for the next 3 or 5 years, but sustains it for years and years to come. And that's what this project, TEA, is about, Tayama Enterprise Academy. These children, as they grow, and as they grow into their final years of school, grades 10, 11, and 12, most of these kids will not have the opportunity to go to university. And so the education they've received is wonderful, but it's not going to allow them to provide and build on their lives as they are today. But this academy will allow these children to learn to be mechanics, to learn to be engineers, and to learn entrepreneur skills that will allow them to help to develop this nation. That's what I hope in the years ahead, as Carmel United Methodist Church continues to hear about this community and these children. I hope that we become partners as a part of this project, so when we hear about the needs that are needed for this project, that we will respond generously. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes. I usually read it for weddings, and it says, you know, where one can be alone, one stands alone. But the second person comes in, and they're stronger. And I think that's what we need to really believe about that scripture. It's not just that it's about a wedding, but it's also about our life in Christians. When one of the body of us is weaker, it's our responsibility to come in and stand by them. And when we stand them by them, we need to remember that that third thread is in there. And that third thread is God, who will guide us and who will provide us if we will just listen and follow. So I hope that today, seeing my friends as we have been here, I hope that these are faces that you'll remember in days ahead as we talk about this project. God bless you all. Thanks for joining me again in yet another site here in Sierra Leone. And This is a site that truly holds a special place in my heart and many of the persons' hearts who went on one of the first mission trips to Sierra Leone, probably about 2001, 2002, I believe it was. And over the years, through Faith Promise, we have also supported this orphanage. So let me tell you a little bit about it. This orphanage was established by Abu, who has often been our driver when we've come to Sierra Leone. Abu's heart was touched after the Civil War, as there were many, many children who were orphaned. And so he started this orphanage here. And they have raised 12 children. The first time we came, many of them were very small, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and feeling so blessed today to be here to see them now as teenagers and to see how well they are doing. I just talked to Sophie, and she said that she's finishing up school soon, and she's looking to go to the university next year. So these children have truly been blessed, and I want to say blessed by Carmel United Methodist Church, because as I sit in the orphanage itself, we have been a part of helping them to establish this. So I want to say thank you to everyone who has given over the years to Operation Classroom and to this effort. We helped to build a kitchen here for the orphanage, and we also helped to put in a water well. And both of those have made a tremendous difference in the lifestyle of the kids who live here. And the other really awesome thing was in the last couple years, they built a bakery next door so that they bake bread and they sell it in the community, and they also use some of it to feed the children here, but it's an opportunity for them to be raising money to also sustain and support this orphanage. Going forward, we continue to support these kids with their education. So going forward, whenever we talk about it as a part of Faith Promise, talk about Sierra Leone, Operation Classroom, these are the kinds of efforts that we are supporting that are truly making a difference in children's lives. And I do believe that as Christians, that we are called to not only take care of our own, those in our own community, but also to remember those who live far away from us. So this is indeed a part of the missions of Carmel United Methodist Church, where we are truly making a difference in lives. This will be the last taping that I'll do before I begin to leave Sierra Leone. I'm hopeful that all the video that we've done has been of a good quality for you. I have been so honored to be able to share this time with you here in this country so that you can actually see the difference that we are making when we contribute in whatever way to these missions. We truly bless many, many lives, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for spending this Sunday with me. God bless you.